So you remember a couple weeks ago we talked about disciplining our spiritual bodies and how if the athletes are out there disciplining their physical bodies for a perishable crown, how much more should we as born-again Christians discipline our spiritual bodies, not for a perishable crown, but an imperishable crown. And there is no better way to discipline our spiritual bodies than by what? Being in the Word of God. And so that's another commitment. You know, I had a dream about 3 months ago. And it wasn't the Lord speaking to me. It was Chuck Smith came to me in this dream and said, Tim, you need to read your Bible more. And I was like, Chuck, I do read it. He goes, read it more. That was my dream. I said, okay, well, Chuck says so. I better start reading my Bible. You know, it only takes 66 hours to read through the entire Bible. From Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. It's 11 minutes a day. And I told this to my son Stephen yesterday. He goes, come on, Pops. There's no way it only takes 66 hours. I said, you know what? That's what I said about 10 years ago. And I went out to make sure this was right. So I wrote down, I read through the Bible that year, and I wrote down my times. And sure enough, it was 66 hours and a few minutes. I'm like, wow, that's really accurate. So we really don't have any excuses, do we? 11 minutes a day, and you're through the Bible in one entire year? This year, I got this out. You know, every year I kind of print these out and put them back. It's a reading schedule. I found this in my old Bible. It's 35 years old that I just copied on newer paper. The paper's not 35 years old, so just the copy. But it's really good. It's just a reading schedule, and it's got the little boxes right here that you can check off as you go through it from January to December. You know, I know today, this was before they had internet. Now we've got all the internet, you know, schedules and all that kind of stuff, but for me, I just got to have paper. I just got to feel something, and then I can just read it and mark it off. Always feels better for me. So this morning, we are in the last chapter of the book of Philippians. You know, this is throwing me off because you, Carl and Marianne are the only ones over in this section, and it's usually packed. It's like I feel like I'm tipping this way instead of falling this way now. So we are in our last chapter in the book of Philippians, if you want to turn in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 4. Father God, we do thank you. We praise you for being an awesome God. Lord, we thank you that you are working all things together for the good in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that this is not our home, that we are heading to a better place. A place of perfection, Father God, that we will be with you forever. Be with all those who are traveling this weekend and this week. Be with all those who are sick and afflicted. I pray, Father God, for those of us here that you would give us a gift of teaching. You prepare our hearts, our minds, our ears to know those things that you want us to know. Lord, we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, the Apostle Paul left off in chapter 3 by telling us that, you know, we're not perfected yet. We don't have our heavenly bodies yet, but while we're still on the earth, we press on. Paul's saying, man, I press on to the goal to win the prize, that we are no longer of this world, but our home is in heaven. Paul left off in those last two verses last week, in verse 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And because of these things, Paul starts off the next verse, our chapter 4, verse 1, with, Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. Whenever I hear that term, my beloved, I can't help but think of J. Vernon McGee. Remember J. Vernon McGee? Love that guy. I used to listen to J. Vernon McGee. I used to listen to Chuck Smith. Those guys were fantastic. Remember the Bible bus? And this goes, raise your hand if you remember J. Vernon McGee. Oh, yeah, everybody knows. Okay. You remember how he used to close the program? May God richly bless you, my beloved. Every single week. So every time I hear that, I say, wow, that's J. Vernon McGee. So Paul's saying, my beloved brethren in the church of Philippi, and he's just praising God for them. He's saying, you're my pride and joy. And he's telling them, man, just stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. Paul's saying, I implore Iodai, and I implore, I almost say employ, you don't want to employ these people, I implore Sudishi to be of the same mind in the Lord. And so these two names, Iodai and Sudishi, are feminine names. And so the Lord, so Paul telling these ladies that must have had maybe some disagreement, some argument, some kind of fight, saying, hey, just get together. Be of one heart and one mind. Come back together. And he goes in verse 3, and I urge you also, true companion. Now, we don't know who this companion that Paul's talking about, who it is, but whoever it is, Paul's instructing that person to help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers. So Paul mentioning all those in the church of Philippi that had labored with Paul in the gospel of Jesus Christ, whose names are written in the book of life. There is a book that is written. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And every born-again believer in Jesus Christ, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You remember back in Ephesians, Paul said that we were chosen in him before the very foundations of the world. And if we were chosen before the foundations of the world, that means our names were in the Lamb's Book of Life before the very foundations of the world. God always knew, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. And those that have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as Revelations 20:15 says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. People say, well, Tim, how do I know if my name is added into that book? Well, it's simple. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you do, your name is added. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, doesn't mean that you're not in there. It just means that you don't know the Lord yet. But why take a chance with your salvation? Today's the day of salvation. Make sure, we need to make sure our names are added to that book of life. Paul said in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul is mentioning this 16 times in this book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. And I say again, rejoice. In every circumstance, we can rejoice in the Lord, even though Paul was chained to a Roman soldier. How do we rejoice in the Lord when tragedy has hit our family? How do we rejoice in the Lord when we just found out that we have cancer? How do we rejoice in the Lord when we lost someone so close to us, so dear to us, part of our family? How do we rejoice? Well, again, it's impossible in the flesh. But we can rejoice in the Lord, as Paul's saying, because it's not us doing it. It's God through us. We can rejoice in the Lord knowing that he is controlling all things, that this is not our home, that we have a place in heaven prepared for us. We can rejoice in the Lord knowing it's not us, it's God in us. Rejoicing in the Lord. Paul's saying in verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Peter says in his second epistle, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in our holy conduct and godliness? The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming soon. And the earth, the world as we know it, will soon come to an end. After the millennium, God will destroy the earth and create new heavens and new earth. And Peter's saying, if these things be true, if all this is really happening, what manner of men and women ought we to be in our holy conduct toward God? If the Lord is coming at any moment, what are we doing in our lives? How will the Lord find us? If the rapture happened today, How will the Lord, what will the Lord find us doing? Are we doing God's work? Or are we doing our work? The Lord is coming, Paul's saying. Paul's saying that let your gentleness be known to all men. Let your light shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Paul said, let your gentleness be known to all men because the Lord is at hand. Paul's saying in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety can greatly hinder our walk with the Lord. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't love those people that are anxious any less than he does. He always loves everyone. But it can hinder our walk with the Lord because if we're anxious, that means we're not trusting the Lord. You know, I talk about this a lot, that when we give our lives over to Jesus Christ, we are. We say, Lord, I want to be born again. Okay, great. Here's my steering wheel of my life. I'm giving it over to God. God, you drive. Thank you very much. I surrender my life to you. Our job's finished. We handed the steering wheel over to God. He's driving. We're not driving anymore. We're riding shotgun. We're in the passenger seat. But we have a choice. We can be anxious and say, okay, God, do you know what you're doing? You know, there's a sharp curve around, come around that corner. Maybe you're going too fast. You know, God, I don't know. Do you have your driver's license? Are you sure you know what you're doing? But see, that's when we're anxious about things like that. That's how we act toward God. God, I don't know about this. And God says, you know what? You need to relax. You need to sit back and just let me drive. And we've got to know Romans 8:28, that God is working all things together for the good. For those who love God have been called according to his purpose. You say, well, how do I know I've been called according to his purpose? Do you love God? Are you born again? Then we have been called according to his purpose. But we are to rest in the Lord. Paul's saying, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. There is no reason at all to be anxious. God knows what we need before we even ask it. But it comes down to just trusting the Lord. Jeremiah says in 17, the Lord says through Jeremiah, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will always be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So Paul's saying that if we're really trusting in the Lord, we're resting in the Lord, then in verse 7, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Because when we're really trusting in the Lord, then we're resting in the Lord. And then if we're resting in the Lord, then the peace that surpasses all understanding will flood our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, we live in a very wicked, corrupt, sinful world. And all around us, we see the effects of a fallen man, effects of a fallen world. You can't turn on this TV without just being bombarded by the sinful world. Go to work, you see the effects of the fallen world. It's all around us. And we're not of this world, and there's going to be friction between us and the world. We march to a different drumbeat than the world does. As Paul says, our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. And so Paul's saying, man, don't meditate. Don't think on earthly things, because nothing on this earth is going to satisfy. But get your mind on godly things. Think on these things, whatever's true, whatever's pure. You know, I think about, as we talked about, being in the Word of God, best way to think on godly things. But for me, you know, when I'm having a hard day at work, man, I just like to go in the car and drive and turn on worship music, love listening to Hillsong, and just I'm just in the Lord, just praying, just even here before the sermon, just worshiping God, entering into the presence of the Lord with praise and worship. Think on these things. I came across, when I say think on these things, I think back to Petra. Petra came out with a song in 1995 from the No Doubt album called Think on These Things. I played it yesterday for the first time in like 20 years. It's awesome. You got to listen to it. Think on these things. Paul saying in verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul's saying, listen, if you're having a hard time understanding that think on these things above, or if you're having a hard time doing those things and meditating on godly things, Paul's saying, hey, just follow my example. And then once you do that, you're going to have the peace of God fall upon you. Paul's saying in verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity. So remember, as we talked about last week, that those in the church of Philippi took up a collection, and they gave it to a young man named Epaphroditus, and they brought it to Paul for his needs there in Rome. And so apparently they had tried to get to him earlier, but they couldn't. They didn't have the opportunity. But Paul is praising God and thanking God for not only their financial support, but their spiritual support for him in prayer. Paul's saying in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul had learned how to be content in all things. Paul learned to be satisfied in all situations. I mean, when we think about it, how much is enough? You know, A couple of times I asked the Lord, Lord, it'd be really nice if I had $1 million. You know, just, Lord, if you have nothing else to do, you want to give me $1 million? Sure, I'll take $1 million. But if God gave me $1 million, then I would say, you know, Lord, $1 million, you know, I need a little more. How about $2 million? God would give me $2 million. You know, I'd say, you know, God, just $2 million, just not going to cut it. And I'd ask for $4 million, because greed is never satisfied. The more you get, the more you want. It's just that, it's that, that's life. The more you have, the more you want in the world, not in the Lord. Paul's saying, hey, I've learned to be content. And God just wants us to be content in the situation where we're at. Are we poor? God says, be content. I will provide for you. Are you doing really well? Be content. I'm going to have you sell everything. I'm going to have you do something with that. God always has a plan. You know, and there were times in Sue and I's marriage in the last 33 years, right? I think I better check that. 34, maybe I have to check it. Where we didn't have two nickels to rub together. We didn't know where our rent, our mortgage was going to come from. We didn't know how we were going to put food on the table that day. It's hard to believe, but there are times where it had zero money. We didn't have any credit cards to go charge stuff with. We were dependent on God to provide. And then there were times where God totally blessed us. And as I said, usually when God blesses us, there's like, okay, what's going on, Lord? Why are you blessing us so much? And sure enough, sell everything you have and do this or do this. And then we end up with nothing, but that's all right. It's all God's anyway. But we need to be willing to give up everything for God, because he provides all things for us. And so Paul's saying, I've learned to be content in all things. And now as we get to verse 13, this is a whopper of a verse. We all know this verse very well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can just say that all the morning long. It's a wonderful verse. You know, John tells us in John 15, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And Paul says, man, with Christ, you can do all things. There's nothing that we can't do in the Lord. There are no limitations to God. The only limitations there would be unbelief, our own unbelief. The disciples came to Jesus one day complaining. They said, Lord, you know, we can't cast this demon out. What's the problem? Jesus said in Matthew 17, it's your faith. Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God tells you, I want you to tell this mountain to move from here to over there, would we say, it's impossible? A mountain? Come on, Tim. Mountains just don't pick up and move. Well, they won't for you because you don't believe that God can do it. And I'm not talking about name it, claim it, and blab it, and grab it, and we're going to claim a pink Cadillac. I'm telling you that when God says, this is what I'm going to do, we can't say it's impossible because there's no such word in God's vocabulary as impossible. If God wants to give it to us, if he can get it through us, God wants to flow through us. If God says, this is what I'm telling you to do, whatever it is, moving the mountains or whatever, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we just have to believe that it's not us doing it. It's just God flowing through us to reach his accomplishments. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, verse 14, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now you Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So Paul just thanking and praising God for the church in Philippi, that they always supported his ministry, and not only financially, but praying for him as well. Paul saying, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul saying the gifts to him were like a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory in Christ. Whatever our need is, whatever it is, God will provide our need. Now somebody may say, you know, Tim, I can tell you there has been times where God didn't come through. Where was he then? I've had business people tell me, Tim, I went bankrupt as a Christian. Where was God? He said he provides. Where was he then? Well, God knows our needs more than we know our needs. God always provides. God always provides. I think about Chuck Missler. Chuck Missler, if you don't know who Chuck Missler is, he's a Bible teacher. Well, he passed on, but he was a Bible teacher at Costa Mesa. Well-versed in the Lord, man, in the Word of God. And he was doing well, and he had a, you know, serving the Lord, teaching Bible studies, and God had blessed him abundantly, and he ended up going bankrupt. The business he went bankrupt, and he lost everything. And praise God, because he lost everything, God put him in the full-time ministry. God, I mean, I don't know how many books Chuck Missler has written, maybe 30 or 40 books, and God used him mightily, but that was God's plan. I want this for you, it's grand, but you got to be willing to give up this. Because if we're willing to hang on to this, you know, like Joseph in prison, no, Lord, I want to stay here, and you know, I want to stay here. I want to stay in Potiphar's house. Oh, no, I have so much more for you. You got to be willing to give up everything for the Lord because the Lord knows what's best for us. We have no idea. And of course, Chuck, you know, Lord blessed Chuck Missler and ended up moving to New Zealand, which is good. And then he moved to heaven, even better. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, and there have been times in my walk with the Lord where I said, man, Lord, you're a little late on your provision here. And God says, no, you know, looking back, I can see that. Oh, you were testing my heart. You're testing my walk with the Lord. And because of those things, I've grown in you, Lord. And God always, always provided for everything. It may be a stretch. You know, maybe we had to get on our knees and say, Lord God, what are you trying to teach us? And God always came through. But there's always that stretching of our faith to grow us in Him. I mean, the Christian life really comes down to one thing. That's it. Lord, do I really trust you? That's it. Here's my life. Take it. Do we really trust the Lord? Paul's saying he was the Lord will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And now Paul's going to finish up this letter by saying in verse 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Jesus Christ. The brethren who are with me greet you. Now, Paul mentions the brethren, but he doesn't mention them by name. He will in the next book, in the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians and Philippians, written basically at the same time, within a couple weeks of each other. And so Paul, man, he lists a lot of names in Colossians. But Dr. Luke is one of those who are with him. Paul saying in verse 22, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are in Caesar's household. So Christianity is only 30 years old at this point. Jesus was resurrected 30 years before this. And man, the gospel of Jesus Christ is spreading everywhere. And people are getting saved in Rome. A mighty revival is happening. Even members of Caesar Nero's household are getting saved. Paul closing up, saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. You know, when I reflect back on the book of Philippians, I think about all the things that we can be thankful for. We can be thankful that God will supply all our needs in Christ. We can be thankful that we can do all things through Christ. We can be thankful that our citizenship is not here, but in heaven. And we can be thankful that we have a loving Father who cares for us, who loves for us, who died in our place for us. As Paul said, we can meditate on these things. Lord, we are so thankful for all the things that you have done for us. Lord, we thank you that you have us in your hands. We thank you, God, that you're driving the car of our lives. And not only that, Lord, we thank you, Father God, what lies ahead for each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord God, that our citizenship is not here, but in heaven with you for eternity, Lord. Our minds cannot grasp the things that you have prepared for us, Father God, and all the trials and tribulation that we are going through right now will not even compare to the glory that will be revealed. And so we just praise you. We thank you, God, for all that stuff that's coming. Lord, I pray that, again, that you would be with all those who are out sick, all those who are afflicted with cancers, and, oh, there's so many things going on, Lord. We just pray for a healing touch for each and every person. We pray, Lord, you'd guide and direct and watch over those who are traveling this week. Bring them back safely. Lord, equip us to do those things that you have called us to do. Enable us to do those things, God. Lord, we want to be used of you. Be with us, Lord. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.